I've been married for more than 16 years, and I can still remember the day when I got married and my wife came down the aisle, and the excitement and the love and everything I have. And I just feel like Jesus says, He says He's excited to be here, and just like a man is looking for his bride, that same excitement is in his heart, and he loves us very much.
Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before Him. Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in parched land. O God, when You went out before Your people, when You marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one in Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, You shed abroad, You restored Your inheritance as it languished.
I just feel that God said that He has everything that we need. We do not need to look for anything else or everywhere else for what He needs, for what He's got for us. So, He's got everything in store that we need. We can just open our heart and receive what He's got for us. Yeah, He's enough.
Father, we just want to bring this service before You, God, and we just thank You for the words, Lord, that, God, that we can know that You are coming for us a spotless bride, Lord. And God, there's nothing that we can do to add what You've done on the cross already. It's been done on the cross, Lord. Thank You that we can just know that You are well pleased with us, Lord. God, we praise You. We praise Your name. We exalt You in this place, Lord God. We declare that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, You are the Savior. You are our Redeemer, Lord God. You are our Deliverer. We surrender to You, Lord God. Thank You that we can declare that You are good and that Your goodness endures forever. And it's Your goodness, Lord, and it's Your kindness that leads to repentance. God, I thank You, Lord, that we can declare the goodness of the Lord over this place, over Your people, Lord. And I want to thank You, Lord, for the cross, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for the price that You've paid for us, Lord. I just want to declare and say to the heavens, Lord, that I love You, Lord God. I praise You, Lord. I worship You. It's all about You, Lord God. And we give You all the glory in this place. And You are just so welcome here with us, Lord. We love You, Jesus. Amen. Good morning, everyone. My sermon is called Forgive, Forgiven, and Forgiving. And I want to continue with what I started preaching on last week. I really believe God is showing me at this time that He wants to bring the Bride of Christ worldwide together, but that God, Jesus is coming back for a whole bride, and that He is preparing His people to become whole in Him, to completely walk in faith, completely walk in love, in mercy, in kindness, in goodness, that the world will know that we are His disciples because of the love that we have for one another, the whole thing that we love our enemies. God has called us to love our enemies, not to love those that love us, but to love even our enemies. And to go to a place from that, we know it in our minds and we know it, but to know it in your heart, to live it, is tough. It's impossible. And I really believe God is taking us through almost impossible things like the Hubert family has gone through to bring us to a place where we just worship God in the midst of our pain. In that jail where we can worship Him and praise Him and exalt His name, in that place the angel comes and He opens the door so that we can be set free. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. Last week was Barbara Krieger's funeral, and it was very sad. Yuck. Paul Krieger and I went to go and pray for her. Skip said, we were the first people actually to go to pray for them at their house. And then he thanked me afterwards because I blew the shofar at the funeral. And I'm like, they were such a godly example of, in their pain, exalting who God was. Bringing, and Barbara was 12 years older than me. She was so young still. And when she was even on her deathbed, she was asking people, are you okay? Are you? She can't speak anymore, but she was bringing glory to God in the midst of her pain. And the children brought testimonies of to God, of God's goodness, of who their mom was, and they brought praise. And Marcia was worshiping. She was dancing in during the service, or before the service, during the singing. She was just dancing to the Lord. Just a place of completely surrendering to the purposes of God. And that was such an amazing testimony. And Skip said something that was profound to me. He said to me, you know, guys, suffering is sometimes good for us. Then he said, it's always good for us. Because we become dependent on God. And they've been going 6 years. They fought this battle up and down, up and down. And then eventually, and she said to the end, I want to live. I'm going to live in the name of Jesus. And she's living now. She's with God. She's in heaven. But there was a pain that they had to go, that they went through, but they brought glory to God. And just what Eugene was sharing, in their pain, to bring praise and to bring glory to God. And I believe this is what God is bringing us to. He's taking us to that place that in our pain we will bring glory to Him. And 2 weeks ago I had a sermon that I named, for those of you who are visiting this morning, I called it, I'm accepted because He, Jesus, was rejected. And God just showed me that me, myself, and I think many other people, because we've been rejected, we have pain and our hearts harden to people around us because of rejection, because we don't want to be rejected again. We don't want to go through that thing where someone is going to say to me, you're not good enough, or I'm not choosing you, I'm choosing Him, I'm choosing that one instead, and you never chosen. And most people have been terribly hurt as children, and then they grow up with a spirit of rejection. And when they get older, they always act out of that place of, I just don't want to get hurt again. And because of this pain, we withdraw ourselves, or it's maybe anger, whatever it could be. And I really believe God was showing me that He wants to start dealing with this rejection, that we can come to a place of trusting in Him. And what was so amazing to me was seeing on the cross that Jesus got totally rejected. They said, all He wanted to do was to heal people, to love them, to give them food, to bring deliverance. And the people were despised at Him. They looked away from Him and they said, we want Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. And I shared how Derek Prince said that Jesus probably died of a broken heart. Because all the two other guys died before Him, but He was already dead by the time they came to Him, because His heart was broken. And, you know, and I said, we still have Jesus when everyone rejects us. But Jesus Himself, He didn't even have anyone, because He said, Father, why have You rejected Me? So He was completely rejected. He took all shame. He took all betrayal. He took all rejection upon Him, so that we can be accepted. And there was these steps that I gave, that I just believed, and I just felt God saying to me, no one is going to respond because of the pain. And hurt people hurt people. Because we are broken, the way we react will always be, the course will be that we are going to hurt other people. And I really believe God wants to do a work in us. And I said the first thing is that we have to accept that you have been rejected, and then to forgive those people who have harmed us. And this is what I'm going to preach upon, because I really believe that we are, and you've probably heard like 5 or 10 sermons on forgiveness, but I believe mine is different this morning, because it's the right time to forgive. Renounce the fruit of rejection and bitterness and injustice that is, or hatred and rebellion that's done against us, and then to accept what Jesus has done on the cross. Our healing is the cross of Christ. That is where our healing is. To know, to really understand what Jesus has done on the cross for us. This is for everybody. This is where our our faith lies. This is where our healing lies. This is where our overcoming is, on what understanding what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And then there's a place that we must accept ourselves as believers. We are children of God, and then accept the fact that we are part of a family and that we are called to be family, and we are called to help one another and not to separate ourselves from the body of Christ. And I really believe that place of coming together is where the blessing is. And what I'm seeing is that the step to having or being healed is in our forgiveness. And I believe God is raising up the end time church. And I believe Satan's strategy specifically is to get us to be offended. To be offended with one another so that we can withdraw, that we cannot be part of the body of Christ, because there's power in the fact that we are in unity. And many people are facing being offended. And I'm not talking offended with the church. I'm talking about being offended with your wife, with your husband, with your friend, people that you know, people at work. Many people are struggling with relationships around themselves, where they want to separate themselves. And we are so busy, we just choose not to invite those people anymore because of offense that we have in our heart. And I also believe that God is raising up the end time army. But this army is completely different to any army that the world has ever seen. This army is called family. It's a family that happens to war as well. But they war in the fact that they praise God in all circumstances, because God wars on our behalf. Family is where we understand we are brothers and sisters in Christ. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. So my children is also God's children. But we're all part of the family. And all of us here are part of that family. And what the devil wants to do is he wants us to be separated. And then when Anton came and he preached on being peacemakers, he was illustrating this point that there's something that we must do. We blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. There's a blessing in that. And I believe the next step that God is giving us is to forgive. To forgive those that has harmed us. Matthew 24 verse 10 in the Amplified Version says that many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. So this, I believe, is a prophecy for the times that we are in, that many will be offended. Our hearts will be hardened. There will be hatred amongst one another, exact for the people that we should actually be loving to or in love with. Unforgiveness is having or holding a grudge against someone who has offended, slandered, or hurt us, not having the compassion or mercy to forgive. It's spiritual poison to the soul and to the spirit. And we will not receive emotional healing if we cannot forgive. And I believe the key for all of us is forgiveness. And unforgiveness will, the falling will be characteristics. It will leave you with the falling. You will have no energy. You will feel drained. You will have a sense of hopelessness. Loss of joy. You're always upset. There's no more laughing. There's no happiness. Extreme anger and rage. You have no peace of mind. There's always these thoughts in your mind. You're always worked up because of something. This emotional distress or torment. Sleeplessness. Just can't sleep. I'm always awake. The devil is attacking me again. I've got these dreams. Hatred. Judgmentalness. Or being critical of other people. There can be harmful retaliation to others as well. Starting losing friendships. Yeah, it's the devil that came in, or whatever the case could be. Unhappy homes or broken marriages. Depression, anxiety, fear. And then it's a mental and a spiritual roadblock to receiving and restoration of divine healing. I believe that people, it's not always like that, but because of unforgiveness that leads to resentment and bitterness, people can get sick and they pray for healing, and they're being prayed for and they don't receive the healing because of the unforgiveness in their hearts. I knew a lady who, a daughter phoned me and she said that this lady has cancer and she's going to die very soon. But there's so much unforgiveness in her heart if I cannot come and pray with them. So I did. And then I said to them, let me just speak to your mom alone. And we had an amazing chat. And then we just spoke about all this stuff. And then I said to her, you know, God wants us to forgive. And she says she knows that. And I said, can I help you to do that? And she said, yes. So I said, would you be happy if I ask your children to come in again? And she said, yes, that would be good. So she prayed the following prayer when they were there. So she said, oh, God, forgive those people for what they've done against me. And then I'm like, okay, let me pray after me. And I said to pray after me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. She says, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. And she said, I forgive Sunny because she said I stole the flowers. And then I helped her with it because I knew all the stories. And then at the next moment, the Holy Spirit just came. And she said to her son-in-law, just come here and I forgive you. And I'm so sorry. And it was just the Holy Spirit that was there present. She was in a wheelchair at the time. 6 months later, we're having a picnic, a church picnic, and this lady comes walking to me. She said, hello, my kind, to Hanet. I'm like, who is this? And I'm trying to work out in my mind, you know, you have this friendly face, but you, yes, yeah. And then I realized it's Aitani. God miraculously healed her. The doctor said they didn't know what was going on, and she was raised from a wheelchair. But I believe the block was unforgiveness in her heart. You will know that you have unforgiveness is when you start saying things like, you don't understand. You don't know how hard it is for me to forgive that person. Do you know what they've done against me? You don't understand what they've done. Or you start thinking yourself, you find yourself thinking of this offense or this hurt all the time. And then you get so upset when you think of it. And you start coming to a place where you repeatedly tell people of what has happened. And you find this drooling your conversations that you're always talking about this thing that has happened against you. Whenever there's a conversation, you always want to say, and they talk about, there's a person there, you would always want to just throw that in. That person has hurt me. Do you know what they've done against me? So this unforgiveness becomes your identity. You get so consumed by it that it's all that you want to talk about. And then you start seeing everything through your eyes. You cannot see the other person's side. You will always just come from your side, but it's about what happened to me. So this will leave us separated from that person. If you see that person in a room, you just want to go stand on the other side and just hope they leave as quickly as possible. You're trying to find a way to leave as well. Or you become to a place where there's always accusations that is being thrown in your heart to that person. There's strife and it brings division. There's a lack of compassion for that person. You just actually don't care for that person anymore. You become discouraged, disappointed, and you feel rejected. And you can't understand why other people don't see that that person is wrong. Can't they see? Don't they have discernment? Can't they see that person is from the devil? So an unforgiving heart is never happy. An unforgiving heart gets angry when the offender is getting blessed. Unforgiving heart boasts of the self-sacrifice that I had to go through. Unforgiving heart keeps account of the wrongs and it's always accuses. And then it starts withdrawing and you're becoming quieter and quieter because you just don't want to be opened up to that pain again. And unforgiveness will cause uncontrolled emotions, resentment, and bitterness. Ephesians 4, verse 31, I'm using the Amplified again. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Unforgiveness causes us to have uncontrolled emotions. It causes us to have resentment in our heart. It's like bitterness, it's an anger inside of us, and then our hearts become bitter. Uncontrolled emotions, we have a body, soul, and spirit, and then in our soul, there's your will, your emotions, and your mind. Your emotions is your feelings. Your emotions will affect the way you think and the way you act. It can motivate you to say and do things which are positive or negative. So to control your emotions is a key to godliness. If we can control our emotions, we can come to a place of living godly lifestyles. And I really believe this is where God is really dealing with me, is those uncontrolled emotions that come up, that God wants me to surrender that to Him, that I can become godly as He wants me to be. Because our words produces thoughts, and our thoughts produce emotions, and our emotions produce decisions, and our decisions produce actions. So someone's words can be spoken to us, and it will produce thoughts in our minds. Kuba says something to me, and I'm like, and he didn't even know he said it to me, but that thing is like a dart in my heart, and I'm pondering about this thing. And I can't believe he said that. That was so selfish. How can he say that to me? I can't believe this. And now I'm starting to think about this thing all the time. And then this thought, but Kuba doesn't know it. He's a brying. He's having a good time. I drink a beer, and I'm so upset with Kuba's because I can't believe he had said that thing. He didn't even know I had said it. If I had said to him, Kuba's, yes, I had it for my gesê, he would have just go, sorry, man, and then all would be done. But then these emotions become decisions, and these decisions can become actions. And, you know, for us, we can do a stupid thing. You get upset with your wife, and words that's been spoken, now you start pondering, and you're upset with her, and you don't talk it out, and this thought becomes emotions. And then she says something, and then it's this fight, and you fight. And now you start making stupid decisions, and you say, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to divorce you. And then at some stage, you get divorced because your decisions will lead to actions. Or, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. And eventually, you come to a point where that will happen. So we must learn to speak the words of God. We speak God's words because that will control our thoughts. That will control the outcome of where we are going. Then there's resentment. Resentment is because of negative emotions that was wrong. Now, Nelson Mandela, have you seen The Long Walk to Freedom, the movie? I didn't read the book, but I saw the movie. I think it's excellent. I think we must all go and watch it. I still have to go and watch 12 Years a Slave. I've heard that's also very good. We must watch that. The Jager family made me promise that I'll go and watch it, and I still haven't done it, but it's on my list. But what was really interesting to me just from the movie is how Nelson Mandela, when he was in jail, how he just surrendered and not to become angry. But his wife, Winnie, how they would kidnap, or the secret police will come and they will take her away just before children will get home. She was held in jail for 18 months where they tortured her. So many times the children will come home and then their mom wouldn't be there. So I understand now how she acted later on, but how he chose to walk in forgiveness and how the bitterness consumed her. And he said something, resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. Resentment is like drinking poison, hoping it will kill your enemies. And it can happen because of a misunderstanding or criticism, or people tell you what to do, how you should do it, what they think is best for you, or they act superior to you, or they're hypocritical, or people abuse their power, they bullies. You're being falsely accused or judged or discriminated against or insulted, attacked or persecuted, or you're being underestimated, and there's this thought in your heart, and that becomes resentment in our heart, and this could lead to bitterness. And Nelson Mandela also said, as I walked out of the door towards the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. And this is such a beautiful picture for me of just total forgiveness, that we are being held in prison because of unforgiveness, because of bitterness, because of resentment in our hearts, because of it becomes hatred in our hearts. And this is a block that we cannot connect with God because of the unforgiveness that we have in our hearts. And, you know, a friend of mine always says that we must guard our hearts with all diligence. And because bitterness wants to put up a stronghold in our hearts. So we must guard our hearts constantly with the thoughts, with the words we speak to protect our hearts. Because it's a root. In Hebrews 12 says, see that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So can we fail to obtain the grace of God because of a root of bitterness? I believe this is what Scripture is saying. Because of bitterness, we start stepping out of God's grace, of God's presence in our lives. And the result of bitterness becomes this unrest and turmoil. There's no peace, depression, discouragement, unhappiness, anger, rage as well, hatred. It damages friendships. It causes us to sin. It hinders one's relationship with God. It destroys a person spiritually. It can cause physical, mental, and illness and sicknesses. It causes one to say and do harmful things to others. It makes us cold, bitter, hard towards others, towards God. It destroys family. It destroys relationship. I believe this is the key for our families here is unforgiveness. It desires other to see other people suffer. There's disobedience to God's word. So bitterness is an open door for Satan to come in. It's devastating. It is our worst enemy. Bitterness is a person's worst enemy. Bitterness will affect you spiritually, emotionally, physically. And the fruit of it is like acid in a container. And it starts eating it from the inside out. That's what bitterness does. And it's like cancer. It destroys our body. I believe bitterness can cause cancer. I believe it can happen. A bitter person is hypersensitive, ungrateful, insincere, holds grudges, and has mood swings. But the three that I've been given is we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven on the cross. By grace, we are saved through faith. What Jesus has done on the cross, we are forgiven. Therefore, to forgive is a decision. But not only to forgive, but to live in forgiveness. Forgiven on the cross. And Tuesday, we had a meeting at Stellenbosch with all the staff. And I responded on an altar call that's pretty much like this. And on forgiveness, and then Henny came forward and he just shared Colossians 3 that I already have as my, I've already had this sermon worked out, and just saying, and what has God forgiven me from? And I want to ask you the same question. What were you forgiven from? What did you do that you have been forgiven from? Because we are forgiven. As far as the west is from the east, God has forgiven us all our sins and all our iniquities. Everything he has forgiven us. And just coming back to the cross, understanding that Jesus, when he was rejected, he was hanging there in pain, in suffering. And he did that because of his love for us. His tremendous love for his people, that they can be forgiven all the stuff that they've done wrong. Romans 4 verse 7 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We are blessed because we are forgiven by God. God has forgiven us. And if you may be struggling with a lot of things that I've said and you've not become born again, this is where it starts. Accepting the forgiveness of God. Surrendering to God. Says, God, I want your forgiveness. And we respond from that place saying, God, I want your forgiveness. Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5, the prophecy of Jesus on the cross says, surely he has borne our griefs carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. On that cross, dying for us, his blood flowing for us so that we can be forgiven. Because the result of our sin is death. No matter what sin we have, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that sin, the result of that is death. It deserves punishment. But on the cross, Jesus says, it's forgiving, it's done. The price is paid. The price is paid. And how does he react? He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. It's a place of total forgiveness. Doesn't matter what these people have done against me, I forgive you because I am forgiven by Jesus. Then to forgive, because we are forgiven, we must forgive. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. Refusing to forgive leaves an open door in our soul that festers into bitterness, resentment, and depression. It's for our own good and the good of the person who hurt us that we simply forgive. Just as we trust God for salvation, we trust Him to do a healing when we forgive. It's faith. It's what Jesus has done on the cross, believing what He's done on the cross. I'm saved because I believe. He's forgiven because I believe too. It's faith. Because I believe, I forgive you. And when that hurt is there, God will do the healing. That God will heal us. But forgiveness is a decision, but the healing is a process. Sometimes we are forgiven, but it's still pain. We must allow God to do the healing process. It can take a while. And there's also a supernatural component to that. We must believe, but don't feel condemned. Yes, I've forgiven so many times, but I still have this bit in me. There's a place that we must allow God to come and do the healing in us. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15 says, they amplified again. I'm starting to give you a lot of amplified scripture today. For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Scripture says, if we forgive people their trespasses, the Father forgives us. If we do not forgive them their trespasses, neither can the Father forgive us our trespasses. And this is difficult. This is hard. Because on the cross, everything was paid. But there's other scriptures as well, that this parable where this man owed all this money. He comes out of the jail, and there's this guy that owed him a little bit, and he said, where's my money? And then he gets put into jail because he couldn't let that man's debt against him go. So scripture is full of this. There's in John 20 verse 23 says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Scripture is clear. God wants us to forgive everyone as He has forgiven us of everything. How actually dare we not want to forgive? And it's tough. But that's faith. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. It's not in our own strength. It's really a surrender decision. As I became saved, we cannot save ourselves. There's no work that we can do to save ourselves. We cannot add to the cross. We cannot add to faith. We cannot only believe in God. And I believe part of this believing is to forgive as He has forgiven us. We have to surrender in that area. Say, God, I forgive those that have sinned against me. But then I also believe there's a place that we walk in forgiving, walk in forgiveness, that we forgive all the time. We just walk in forgiveness. And Colossians 3, verse 8 says, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Then verse 12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, because we are holy and beloved by God. He says, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Put away all that stuff. Walk in kindness, love, compassion to one another, meekness, patience. understand that all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that God loves them as he loves me, and that God had called me to love them and even my enemies, and if anyone does anything against me, forgive them, because I'm forgiven by God, and live, walk in being forgiving, forgiving all the time. How many times? 70 times 7. Just forgive, forgive. On the cross, God has forgiven us all these things. And then verse 14 says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. So put on love. It binds everything together in perfect love. God has called us to love one another. Forgiveness is the start. I forgive. We cannot walk in love, in God's agape love. It's a sacrificial love if we can't forgive. It prevents us from walking in the love of God. And I really believe this is the key for us as the body of Christ to come into that place where we can walk in the supernatural, is to forgive. We are not seeing miracles. We are not seeing breakthroughs in our lives because our hearts have been hardened. In Ezekiel, it says that God will pour out his spirit upon people, and it will take the heart of stone and will give them a heart of flesh, and that you'll be my people and I will be your God. I really believe we cannot walk in this because of hardened hearts. And I really believe God wants us to deal with it, to bring it before him, because you and I are the target of Satan. It's not that person that has offended you. We are. He wants us, our hearts, to get hardened. Because if our hearts get hardened, we separate ourselves because of that unforgiving. So we must forgive. It doesn't matter what that person has done for us. Because this offense leaves open doors in our lives where multitude of demons and spirits can torment us and torture us. And then we're having terrible dreams and we warfare and, yeah, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you that I'm the head and not the tail. But we sit with unforgiveness in our hearts. And the tormentation comes. And we get taken out and they break in and they get stolen from us. And we cry all the time and all these things happen. And I'm just thinking of what Eugene said to the girls. So what I'm just hearing to him, for the single girls, don't cry too much. Because what I've heard from him, we might get pregnant if we cry too much. So we must praise the Lord. Just from his testimony, I wanted to share that earlier just to break a little bit. But there's a place in our hearts that when we cry so much, we must now make a decision. I think we've cried enough. We can now say, God, I make a decision to forgive. I stand up, Lord. I want to forgive. Because there's a difference between forgiving and forgetting. But forgiveness is a place where we can bless that person that has harmed us. We can be happy for them. We pray for them. And we want to see good things for them. Yes, I believe it's a process. But just simply saying, I'm sorry, and walking on, there's still stuff in our hearts. And I believe God wants us to get healed of the things that is in our hearts. But it's an act of free will. It's truly giving compassion, mercy, and love, no matter what this person has done for us, like what Jesus has done. They said Barabbas. He was a murderer. They wanted a murderer. We want Barabbas. But he said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So I'm trusting the Lord that all of us will live lifestyles of forgiving all the time. Because offense will come. But it's how are we going to deal with it. So I want to finish off with that scripture. If someone has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And with my previous sermon, I just believe God saying to me that no one's going to respond because of the hurt. Some people did respond and I was surprised. But because we've been hurt, we just don't want to get hurt again. And we harbor stuff in our hearts. But I believe forgiveness is a decision. We must act on it. And I'm going to show you a clip and I'm going to ask the worship team just to play a song. And if you want to act on it, I want to invite you to come forward that we can just anoint you. We're not going to pray prayers over you. If you want to bring it before the Lord, then you can do. If there's someone with specific prayers, if you've not given your heart to the Lord and you want to respond to that, to walk in the forgiveness of God, I ask you to come to me. I want to pray specifically for you and for the others. And if you have a specific need, just ask one of the facilitators saying, I have a need. But if you want to respond, I really want to encourage you to respond on this thing, that God can cleanse your heart. If you're going to remain seating, I want to give you a guarantee. I'll write it out for you. You're not going to get that healing. I believe God is calling us now. If you want to respond to the call of God, please do, so that God can heal your heart. There's power in that, because God's anointing is here. The healing is in responding, being obedient to the word of God. If you're going to sit, that's fine. God loves you. But I believe there's bitterness and hatred and resentment that will continue in your heart. And it will continue. You'll get separated and you'll get fallen away and you will not understand, because God's not answering my prayers. Nothing is happening with me. But today is the day, I believe, to make a choice and to say, God, I forgive. Can I just ask that we all stand as I just pray? I just want to thank you, God, that you're a good God, Lord, and that you are full of compassion, full of mercy, full of love, Lord. But you're a powerful, mighty God too, Lord God. And I thank you, God, that you humbled yourself, Lord, to the point of dying on the cross for us, Lord. That you've walked away from heaven to become so vulnerable as a baby and to grow up as a child, and that you've been tempted in every way as we have, that you've been exposed to all emotions, all feelings, all resentment, all anger, all pain as we have. God, believing that your earthly father died probably when you were young, maybe you also didn't have friends, and when you had friends and they followed you, they ran away from you when it mattered the most. They ran away. They even denied you. 3 times they denied you. The other one betrayed you for 30 pieces of silver. And they screamed, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. We want Barabbas. And all you wanted for us was to see us being blessed, for us to be healed. When anyone came to you, unconditionally gave. When that girl was dead, you prayed. When Lazarus died, you went there. When there was a wedding and there's no wine, you gave them wine, Lord. You just gave from the beginning. And we rejected you, Lord God. And God, I want to ask you to forgive us, Lord. To forgive us the sins that we've done against you, Lord God. God, I want to ask you, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord God. Forgive me for hardened hearts, Lord. Forgive me that I've allowed myself to become emotional over things, Lord, and not trusting you, believing in you, because you are good and you are faithful and you're in control, Lord God, and you are worthy of all praise and worship, Lord. But we're thinking we can do it in our own strength, Lord. I ask you, God, to forgive us, Lord. And God, I pray for your Holy Spirit just to touch every person here that needs to forgive. Because their hearts have been hardened, Lord. There's uncontrolled emotions. There's resentment. Maybe there's bitterness, Lord God, in our hearts. And we must make a decision to forgive, as you have forgiven us, Lord. God, I pray by your Spirit, Lord, that you will just strengthen people now, Lord God. And God, for some of us, we need help because we cannot forgive, because the pain is just so much, God. It is so much. We cannot stand, Lord, because we've been abused. We've been tortured, Lord. We've been tormented. But God, by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your healing power to come upon your people, Lord God, to heal our hearts in the name of Jesus. God, to stand up and to make a decision to forgive as you have forgiven us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I just want to pray for your blessing, Lord, and as people respond, God, I just pray supernaturally that you'll do a work of healing in their hearts, Lord, that as they come forward and and we anoint them, Lord, that your presence will come upon them in a supernatural way. And Lord, I'm extending my faith for supernatural healings, emotional healings now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, thank you that, Lord Jesus, it says that you were tempted in every way, Lord God, but you were obedient to the point of death, death even on the cross, Lord. And that we have a high priest that can identify with all that we are going through. And that you are sitting at the right hand of the Father. And therefore we come to you now, Lord. We surrender to you, our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has paid the price for us in the name of Jesus. So we're just going to sing a song. And if you want to respond to that, don't worry what people are saying. Just respond. Just do it for yourself. Do it for your marriage. Do it for your children. Do it for you as believers to walk in the fullness of what God has called us for. But just stand up and make the choice to forgive in Jesus' name. Just pray with me, please. Our Father, thank you, Lord, that I am accepted and I'm forgiven because of the cross of Christ. God, thank you for all the sins that you have forgiven me from. All the wrongs that I've done, Lord. I ask you to forgive me, God. And I thank you for that forgiveness, Lord. And God, I ask you to help me now to forgive all those who have harmed me. And now, bring those people before God and just say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive Pete for what he has done. I forgive my dad for being absent. I forgive my mom for choosing my siblings over me. I forgive my grandfather for not leaving me an inheritance. I forgive Pete because he has spoken against me. I forgive my company because they've retrenched me. I forgive my company because I've not getting the promotion that I deserved. Just bring all this unforgiveness before the Lord and just ask the Lord and just tell him in the name of Jesus, I forgive. And just say it, I forgive it in Jesus' name. And just be verbal. Just say to the Lord, I forgive. I forgive. I forgive, Lord, as you have forgiven me, I now forgive. I now forgive. I forgive, Lord. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive, Jesus. I forgive, Lord God. As you have forgiven me, I forgive now, Lord. I forgive, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I forgive, Lord. And now, God, we just ask you to come and emotionally, Lord, just to bring healing to our hearts, Lord. That we can live compassionate lives, Lord, of loving one another, Lord. As you love us, Lord. God, I pray that you come and do a healing in our hearts, Lord, as we surrender. As we surrender to you now, Lord. As we surrender to you, Jesus. As we surrender to you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, Lord. Thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in our hearts, Lord God. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we can now bless those people. And just bring those people before you, before the Lord, and ask the Lord to bless them. Bless them in their families. Bless them in their where they work. If you've been retrenched, just bless the company. Bless it. Say, God, may they increase in money, Lord. May they do so well that they become the best company in this world. Or that person that has spoken against you, bless them. Say, all the things that you wanted them not to happen to them, reverse that and say, God, bless them. Let it go well with them. That they may meet you in a special way. But, Lord, before that, that they just meet a blessing. That they meet all the goodness of God in Jesus' name. Don't even pray for their salvation now. Just pray that God will bless them. Just pray that God will bless them. In Jesus' name. Now, if there are people who if you're very raw and you want someone to pray with you, now we really want to just pray with you. If you can just indicate or the rest, if you want to sit, you are welcome. But if you still want prayer, we want to pray for you. I just want to ask you guys to come and just pray for people, Anton and Kobus, as julle net kan kom bid vir mense wat nog gebed wil hê. And then for the rest of you, may God bless you, and we will see you next week. And may you walk in the fullness of who God is, and may you see the God in a supernatural way in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen.